Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at maintaining your relationship with Jesus. We need to remember that your relationship to Jesus is like any other relationship. It has to be maintained. If you're not talking, you're not maintaining. For our relationship with Christ, it's in prayer. It is us talking to God daily, continually. It has to be maintained. You can't just ask Jesus or talk to Jesus at certain points, especially when you need something. Lord, I'm coming to you again because I need something again. So we have to maintain that relationship. No relationship ever stays the same. You're either growing closer, you're doing that in growing closer to the Lord, or you're drifting away. And in relationship with Christ, this is what's going on with churches. This is what's been going on for many decades now in the church congregations throughout America. Many throughout the other parts of the world are growing strong. But what's going on in America? We're going to be looking tonight at four causes that I think have a lot of sway in our relationship and what's going on in our relationship within the church, our relationship with Jesus himself. We've all known Christians who are no longer walking with the Lord, right? The good news is that God offers to us a restoring grace. Now, you'll hear me say it till I die or you die. You'll hear me saying it. When Christ has accepted you, when you have accepted Christ in that relationship, you can never lose that relationship. But you can put such a strain on a relationship to where you're the one that's moving away. At no point in your life will Jesus Christ move away from you. He will not move away from you. That's not our problem. Our problem is us moving away from him. And as we're looking at it tonight, we need to pay attention as to why. Listen to Lamentations 5:21. If you all don't, in case you don't remember, Lamentations, the authorship of Lamentations is attributed to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. So Jeremiah, the one who cried, you know, I no longer wanted to preach your word, but your word, you cheated, Lord. I did not have the power to resist because you made your word like a burning fire within me, and I could not hold it in. Restore us, O Lord, is Lamentation 5:21. Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. We will find throughout Scripture also give us back the joy of your salvation. It is the salvation of Christ given to us. It is his salvation. Now, here's something that you need to pay attention to on it. Realizing that Christ is God incarnate, if it's his salvation, he maintains it. Phew. You don't. It's not up to us. When I belong to him, I can no longer take myself out of God's hand than Satan can pull me out of his hand. That can't happen because I've been paid for, bought. Paul said that he became a slave to Christ. Look at me now as a slave to Jesus, a slave to the one who bought me. What's the cause, number one? What causes believers to fall away? Now, we're going to be looking here, and that's in Mark 14:27 through 72. I'm not hitting all of that, but I do have some of the verses in there. Peter's denial of Christ, I'll be referring to. What causes believers to fall away? Number one, overconfidence. Now, new Christians, and this is sad for us old Christians. I'm talking about those who are new in the Lord. They have an idea that if they mess up, it's over. So, but they get overconfident that I can do this. I got this. Well, maybe that's the fault of us preachers in the pulpit, telling people that, okay, now that you're saved, you go out there and you take care of business. No, you couldn't take care of the business of your own salvation. You can't take care of God's business any way, shape, or fashion in your life. You must maintain and remember that it is Christ who continually works through you. But we get overconfident because we're on fire for the Lord. You get on fire for the Lord, you got confidence building there, and then Satan will use that confidence that you are expressing in your everyday life of praising the Lord. You know, okay, I got saved Sunday. Monday, I'm just as excited, telling everybody, I got saved, I got saved, I got saved. You need to get saved. You ain't looking too good. You need to get saved too before you die. And all, you know, all of this kind of stuff. You get that fire. You're zealous for the Lord. Then what happens? Normally, it's fellow Christians. Oh, it'll wear off on them pretty soon. I remember getting excited like that myself when I got saved. Remember that kind of stuff? I've heard people, I know they're excited now. Yeah, let them enjoy it while they can. It won't last long. Man, that is really lifting them up, isn't it? That is really... So we get overconfident. Okay. Everyone else may stumble. This is what Peter says to Jesus. Jesus says, you know, people, they're going to betray me. He's talking about his upcoming betrayal and all that's going on. It's going to happen in his life. Peter's listening to this. And Peter gets all cocky and confident, and he says to Jesus, Mark 14:29, everyone else may stumble in their faith, but I will not. Apostle Peter, the rock. I mean, he was refusing to believe that he could stumble. All the rest of these might do it. You should never say, I could never fall for that. Don't ever say that. I would never fall for that. You're going to fall for it in a heartbeat, folks. I mean, you've done some dumb things in your life, right? Everybody admits you've done some dumb things. Well, I got news for you. There's dumb and then there's dumber. And if you don't watch yourself, you'll do dumber things than the dumb part. What makes you feel so good is the thing you just got through doing was so much dumber than the first thing. The first thing looked like it was brilliant. You know, I really wasn't bad at all during that first dumb spell I had. Dumb and dumb, dumber. Oh, yeah. Never say that. That's called overconfidence. The first step in falling away, overconfidence. Given the right situation, any of us is capable of any sin. You hear me? You get in combat when you say and you think that, you know, no, I could never do that. I could not do harm to anyone else. I could not, you know, do any, I could never kill. I could never do that. You get in combat and you get in situations to where it's life or death, or you're just so afraid. You're scared to quit hitting or whatever you're doing. You're afraid to stop. And anything can happen at any given time. The same way in our walk with Christ. You start getting tripped up and you think, well, I caught it. I caught it. Every time you say, I caught it, you messed up. You didn't catch it. Jesus caught you. You've got to get it focused back on who Christ is in your life instead of who you are in his life. You're not in control. You can't do it. And no, you can't handle it. So don't get so cocky with your confidence in that saying, you know, I'm going to be a banner Christian. I'm going to say Jesus until everybody else starts saying Jesus the way I say Jesus. Whew. I hope not. And it's an idea of focus of look at me, but not Jesus. You catching me here? The more emphasis you place on you doing it rather than Jesus doing is the more emphasis you place on you, period. And that in itself is sin. It is sin, folks. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Let him who standeth take heed, lest he fall. I'm standing here, ain't nobody going to move me. Don't do that. Don't say that. In my realm of the world, even in the Marine Corps or being prison chaplain, nobody was dumb enough to ever make that statement. Let him who standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't be ever thinking that you've got this and you can handle it. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Overconfidence. That's where you let your ego in your life take over. Look at the acrostic on the ego there I have for you. Ego stands for edging God out. Edging God out. That's ego. Now you let your ego get all pumped up and all of this stuff, you'll move God straight out of what's going on in your life. What causes believers to fall? Number two, lack of understanding. Mark 14:37. Couldn't you stay awake with me for 1 hour? Now you remember the story here. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. A temptation is coming. They're coming that night to take him by force. And what did he ask? He asked his disciples to stay with me and pray. Now, I think I have a message coming up pretty soon that I focused around this. But they were wore out. The disciples really were. They were tired. They were overwhelmed with everything that was going on. And they were sleepy. Those eyes get so tired. I don't care how loud the preacher gets. You're going to go to sleep and pray that he's not going to slam that Bible again on that podium. So stay awake with me for 1 hour. Pray with me for a while. That night, betrayed, he was arrested, denied, beaten, cursed, and then crucified. Man, and what did he ask him to do? Pray with me. Well, let's look back at that a little bit. Have a little understanding with the disciples as they were sleeping over there. Think about it this way. They were tired, but they still didn't understand. Brother Randy, they didn't catch it yet. They did not realize how dire the situation really was. Jesus was trying to tell them. He asked them to pray, possibly for God the Father to reveal to them what was really getting ready to take place. But he showed us the human experience during trials and tribulations like this. He showed it to us in the Scripture. That's why we have these stories. These stories are there for us so we can see what truly goes on in the human weaknesses and all. Can't you guys even be with me, watch and pray? Can't you picture that one? When you get too tired, you're setting yourself up for major temptation. You go ahead and you keep burning the candle at all three ends. And you keep doing that, you're setting yourself up for major temptations. Number three, fear of disapproval. That's what makes us fall away. Young Christians, They're afraid they'll be disapproved of within the church. So they just give up. Or they get criticism all the time about, you know, a mistake that they made or a mistake that somebody else perceives that they made. May not have been a mistake at all, but it wasn't like that other person thought it should be. And they get afraid of being disapproved of. We're worried about what other people will think. We're afraid that they will reject us. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be accepted. So therefore, what do we do? Instead of standing strong and going ahead and taking the disapproval, we do whatever they want. We do whatever they want, and we fall away. And instead of going to church, where so many will think, well, no, they're going to say something else to me again, I'm just going to stay away from it. They're going to see me that I've fallen again. They're going to see that I've made a mistake again, and I'm going to go through that criticism again. So therefore, for fear of their disapproval, I'm going to stay away from worshiping my Savior who truly loves me, and He's the only one that really understands me at all. We're worried about what other people will think. We're afraid they'll reject us. Peter, in Mark 14:54, first part, Peter followed him at a distance. Here he is. You know, he's been taken now. And Peter follows at a distance. Don't want to get too close. Not sure what's going to happen. The disciples were terrified. They were terrified. They were mingling in with everybody else that was around that had already turned against him. And they're mingling in with the crowd. Many people, Christians, feel that they can hide in the crowd. Many Christians will go to giant churches so they can hide in the church pew. Nobody will pay any attention to me here if there's a lot of people around. And that's the way that it goes. They didn't want the disapproval. So Peter and all of them followed at a distance. Well, I don't know. Let's see how that group accepts the word of Jesus before I tell them I'm a follower of Him. Oh, gosh. You know, that's not the kind of people you want on the front lines of battle with you. The ones who are waiting to see what other people think. Are they going to stand and fight for what they truly believe? Being ashamed of Jesus is a sign you're slipping away. I know a lot of Christians that show signs of being ashamed of Jesus. They're not going to mention Him in public. Well, my religion, they will say, which I hate that term, my religion is personal to me. Yuck. Jesus Christ is a relationship. My relationship with Jesus is so personal. He's my friend, whether you like me or not. He's my friend. I will stand with Jesus. Then if I must fall with Jesus, then let me fall. But that's the difference between my religion is personal. Your relationship with Jesus needs to be personal and strong to where you're ready and willing to stand there. Even though you know you're getting ready to get a rock upside the head. See, some of we don't fear that, according to what kind of head you got, I guess. Whether you fear a rock coming at it or not. It's a snare. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. It is, isn't it? Fearing people is a dangerous trap. And the one that you normally fear, they're paper tigers. They're paper tigers. You one puff at them, and I guarantee you they're gone. They're out of there. The more they talk, the faster they will run in those situations. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. It's a snare, and it's going to catch you. Why do we worry so much about what other people are going to think? We ignore Christ to that extent. Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of him before the holy angels and my Father in heaven." A lot of people can talk about anything and everything except for Jesus. And they will talk about anything and everything except for Jesus. They're what I call the Arctic River Christians. They're frozen at the mouth. They're ready and willing. If there's no hostility in the room, well, listen to me, folks. You can't be a preacher. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and truly stand up there to preach to think that there's not hostility out in that congregation. There's not hostility listening on the radio. There's not hostility on the internet. There's a whole lot of hostility on the internet. Well, I'm glad we don't tweet. Woo! Man, I could really get right around here, couldn't I? Okay. What causes believers to fall away? The fourth one. Convenience. Convenience. Now, let me tell you, you can get convenient and get comfortable. These cold Sunday mornings, you're laying there thinking whether or not you get to get up, get out in that cold weather, scrape that windshield, or have your wife go do it for you. You know, whatever it's going to do, you know, escape a windshield and go to a cold church with people sitting beside of you that are probably going to be cold to you if you don't act right. See, that's the society in which we live. But there's no difference today than there was in the first century church. Do you hear me? The same problems that you hear about today and know about today, I read about in Scripture. You think that you got it bad in your congregation? You should have been in Corinth with Paul. Oh, man, alive. That was hard ministry. We want to have faith, but we want to have a comfortable faith. We want it to fit our schedule. Lord, how come that preacher don't move service up to 2 o'clock? Now, we have Sunday morning service and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Just forget about all the other services or times that we meet. That way, it'll probably be the warmest time period and everything. I don't have to get up early. We ought to bring that up. And let's do it. Well, you're in the wrong kind of a church. We're in a Baptist church. I know that we start church services here at 10:50. No, we don't. Because the people don't start coming in until 11 or 10 minutes after. Between 11 and 10 minutes, pastor and Brother Randy can be up there shouting and praising the Lord all we want at 10 minutes till 10:50, it starts. Here we're singing. No, we're not. It's just us. We're waiting for the congregation that doesn't realize it was 10:50. And if it's 11 o'clock, getting there at 11:10 is good enough. Ain't no sense in being on time for anything. All right, I got that off my chest, and I'm with the wrong group of all people for me to set up with. Okay. Sure, I want to follow Christ as long as it doesn't cramp my style. Gosh, we just, you know, sometimes I wonder what we call style anymore. It doesn't cramp my style. Mark 14, verse 54, second part of it. Then he, this is Peter, sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. This is the time. He's sitting there, you know, and everybody's warming themselves at the bonfire and the weenie roasting on marshmallows and stuff. He is sitting there warming himself. And they say, wait a minute, you're one of them. Did I not see you with this group? Aren't you one of them? You remember what Peter did to prove to them that he wasn't a part of them? Anybody remember what he did? What? He cursed. He cursed. He wanted to show them, I'm not part of this group, the way. They called them the way. Those people that follow that way. And so Peter curses. Huh. Do you know that Jesus caught his eye? This was the rock that said all of them might do it, but not me. Peter was so caught up into his pulling away that he wanted them to truly believe he had nothing to do with Christ, that he cursed. Can't you picture them? Well, you know, that group don't do that. That group doesn't curse like that. He must not. Maybe he's not one of them. It was convenient. Why? He was with the group that cursed, that went against Christ. You know, want to know who you believe in? Who you hanging with? Who's the group that they're hanging with? Okay. Jesus is about to be executed and Peter is blending in with the enemy. Now, I wrote this for us about my 25 years here at this church. Even in this church in 25 years, I've seen the parade of short-term disciples who walk with Christ as long as it's convenient. Then they start to fall away. And this is a pattern that I've noticed. This is a personal pattern within this church itself. I've noticed a pattern when people fall away from Christ. It's always been the same pattern. It always starts like this. The first thing they'll stop is their giving. The first thing they'll stop is their giving. Jesus said, your giving indicates your heart. Your giving indicates, never talked about how much, people. He said, your giving indicates where your heart is. People said, well, I don't have anything. Yeah, you got something. The key is, do you want anything else in your life? The greatest investment that you will ever make in your life is the investment in Christ and His Word and His ministry. God, I can tell you, folks, you can never outgive God. He will always bless it. If I've got a dollar, I got a dime. And that dime is as blessed by God as $100,000 of the millionaire is blessed by God. You got it? It has as much power. It's from the heart. If the 100,000 is from the heart, it's blessed. If the dime is from the heart, it's blessed. If either one are given begrudgingly, you can hang it up. Okay. The second thing that stops is prayer. Stop giving, stop praying. You know, the first thing you'll stop in prayer is praying for yourself. Okay, let's throw a little psychology in here. I can't help it, Paula. Let's throw a little psych in on this one. You get angry at yourself because you realize what you're doing is wrong. You know that you're not helping yourself, pulling away from Christ, pulling away from the truth. You know that. So then you feel like, I don't deserve the Lord even answering prayer on my behalf. So the first prayer you'll stop is praying for God to have mercy on you and to get you back on the right path, because you don't think that you deserve to be on the right path. Folks, there's not a one of us, nobody listening, nobody here, that deserves the blessings that we have from Christ. None of us do. I don't deserve anything, and yet I've got everything. But look, we got each other. Woo! What a mess. But we have each other. Don't you see what I mean? We can even share each other's messes. But God says, when you stop praying for you, you're not going to love anyone else. And listen to me. If you don't like who you are, what makes you think you're going to care anything about the person beside of you? Oh, I'm going to pray for you, but I ain't going to pray for me. I ain't. If I ain't praying for me, I ain't praying for you either. I misery loves company. You notice that? That misery loves company. That's why miserable people who are miserable go find a bunch more miserable people and hang out with them. Then they all go get drunk. Then they call the preacher, come get them out of jail. Pastor, I don't know what we was thinking. I said, I know exactly what you were thinking. Exactly. Okay. I don't know how I got off on that, Miranda. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll back out of that and real. Okay. Yeah. The third thing is they stop attending. Well, Larry, you got to go to church. Faye, I don't want to go to church. Well, you got to go to church. Get up and go to church. But people don't even like me at that church. I don't care whether they like you or not. You're the pastor. Get up and go to church. You got to go. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I did. But you think of it that way. That's a fact. People don't just, not only do they not like you, they love you. See, I care about every member of this church. And I care about everybody that's not a member of this church. I mean, my heart breaks for kids. You all know that if you know me at all. And I want to snap their ears and pull out their teeth and everything else every time they start going out here going wild. And I want to, you know, I want to do everything that I can to dissuade them. I'm not allowed to do all the teeth part. To dissuade them. Why? Because I love them. Why do you think that the Lord lets us feel the sting of life? The sting of bitterness of life. Because we feel the hurt then. Do you think that Jesus didn't feel such a sting and conquer it for us? But if I get out in that world and I don't feel the sting of life against me, I'm going to stay in the world. That's why I feel the sting. It's not because the Lord wants me to feel that sting. It's the Lord loves me. And he doesn't want me to have to wallow in it. I want you to come home, he says. Come on home. Enough's enough. Come on home. Now, that's love. We don't like our children hurt. Oh, gosh, we'll do anything to keep them from getting, a scratch. We'll do anything. But sadly, sometimes it doesn't seem like we've done anything at all, because they do. Are we overprotective? I've heard it said. I don't think so. And I mean this from my... Are you a helicopter parent? I'm a helicopter pastor. If I can keep you from getting hurt, and I know that you're getting ready to get hurt around that curve up there, This helicopter's coming in. You better believe it. And I'm going to warn you. I'm going to do everything I can to stop it because I don't want to see you hurt. And so therefore, no, I don't think I can be overprotected. You think Jesus is overprotected? He protected us so much he gave his own life for us. No, he did it just right. Am I gonna, everything that I have is a gift from God. I may have worked my whole life. I may have put in the hours and done all this, but folks, I don't have anything I have outside the grace of Almighty God who gave it to me. Nothing. That's how much he loves me. He didn't say, okay, Larry, you can come to heaven if you work for it. Lord, I ain't never going to make it because I'll get greedy. Yeah, okay, that's another sermon. What happens to those Christians? The Christians that fall away. How does God respond to those kind of people? See, I'm talking about us kind of people, folks. Here's God's response, Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Well, I wasn't expecting that response. I thought I was going to get zapped. No, Jesus got zapped on the cross, so I wouldn't have to get zapped. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. God will not condemn you. Notice, though, it does not say there are no consequences for all that foolishness. It says there's no condemnation. The consequence of my ignorance was having to deal with my ignorance. And that's consequences plenty, the Lord's decided. Larry, you know what your punishment is, Larry? You're going to have to live with you. Oh, you're going to have to live with the memory. Lord, in a few of my memories, I wouldn't mind getting dulled just a tad. If you're going to get Alzheimer's, I want the kind of where I can pick and choose what I forget. It don't work that way, though, does it? Yeah. But do you know something? And I always say this at funerals. The memory that you will have on that loved one that's gone on, you'll find it, even though I don't care how many bad spots there were in life, your focus will be on the good times. Those will come back to you. And that says a lot about who you are. That says a lot about who Christ is in you.